Hello, everybody. My name is Ryan Fisher. I'm your host today on the Timmy Did What podcast. Sadly, we don't have Kara joining us because she's not feeling well. We wish her a very speedy recovery. She will be joining us back soon and be in the shadow as my co-pilot, hopefully very quickly. But for today, I'm flying solo. But we needed to get some stuff out there and do some fact checking on the Tim Ballard rants that he's still putting out there. This is the response video for, I think it was published yesterday on Last Dispensation's YouTube channel. He made some pretty outlandish claims. He claimed that I, along with Ellen Mortensen and Suzette Rasmussen, the lawyers representing the women, are cozying up to the cartels, that we're working for the cartels to try and take him out so that child sex trafficking can flourish in foreign countries. We're going to address that. He also claims that the women are sluts in their personal lives and goes into some character assassination on that. We're going to address that. He also claims that he is the victim of protection orders that some of the women are trying to get against him, and it's affecting him and his family and especially his bank account in horrific ways. We're going to get into that. There's so many claims here that need to be fact checked because they're flat out lies. There are some misleading comments and also some deflections from what's really at stake here, you know, trying to deflect to the righteous cause that he's involved in. So we also have some other videos coming out soon on the Kelly Suarez case. You have to be patient with us because I had just obtained video of my testimony, and we're still trying to obtain video recordings from some of the other witnesses in that case. Once we have all that together, as well as the video clips describing the delicate comment and all that, we'll present that to you, the evidence, so you can decide whether Kelly is innocent or guilty. But I need to reiterate something because I'm seeing in the comments on some of the things that Tim is posting on Instagram as well as on some of his YouTube posts. He's still calling Kelly a trafficker, that she was a trafficker. That's what he's been saying for 10 years. That's what's in the Sound of Freedom movie. He's calling her a trafficker. And I need to make it absolutely clear that Kelly was not convicted of human trafficking. She was not controlling and selling kids. She was convicted of pimping. And the difference is really important because trafficking is where you control somebody and you can use them for profit or for labor or anything like that. Kelly was not in control of anybody. She did not bring anybody to the raiding Cartagena. She was convicted of pimping. And pimping is simply being a middleman in between somebody that wants sex and sex workers. That is illegal in Colombia. And so, but if money is exchanged, then you can be technically convicted of as being a pimp. So she was involved in a conversation where money was being promised by Tim. We believe that it's paramount to entrapment. We're going to present the evidence on why that is. But Kelly was convicted of pimping, not trafficking. Trafficking is you're a slave holder, basically. Pimping is you were involved in a transaction between consenting sex workers and clients. So he's still pushing that narrative that she's a trafficker. I want to make that absolutely clear that she was not convicted of trafficking. Everybody's saying that's in his camp that, hey, this is a win for Tim. No, it's not, because he was advocating that Kelly was a trafficker this entire time. And this case shows that the trafficking charges from 10 years ago were dropped and they pinned pimping charges on her instead, which pimping charges does not involve children. Those pimping charges, what she was convicted of, does not involve children. So this is not a win for Tim. In fact, if anything, it completely destroys his claim that Kelly is a trafficker, that she's a supervillain in the Sound of Free movie as it was presented. So yeah, we'll get into that more in another video, but I just felt like I needed to clarify some of those comments and some of the punches back against this as a win for Tim and his camp. It's not. It actually destroys his testimony and what he claims Kelly actually is. Without further ado, let's launch into this recording. What happened very recently, yesterday or the day before, and we're just going to go through it together.
That Mortensen is attacking the aftercare center.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question to you. Is he suing them? What's going on? What did you mean by that?
I'll answer that question because I did a post on this, and they feel threatened. The aftercare center that took all this is the aftercare center that won't be named, but they took all the kids from that Columbia operation that Kelly Suarez Moya was a part of. But this is important to set this up: is Kelly Mortensen's or Kelly Suarez Moya. She has defense attorneys, and she should, and they lost. She
was right. Convicted.
Mortensen and Rasmussen, Ryan Fisher et al., they are not her defense attorneys. These are people who are taking the opportunity to try to make money by getting Kelly Suarez Moya, a convicted child trafficker, to sue me and Angel Studios. Because there's lots of money there. The Angel Studios made $250 million. My fraction was so small, it's already gone to legal, and it's gone, right?
Okay, so I need to respond to that. He's claiming that the lawyers, Alan, Mortensen, and Suzette, and myself went to Columbia because we're trying to make money off of this. This trial was a criminal trial against Kelly. I was down there to provide context in Kelly's defense as to the real motives behind Tim and the operations. Okay. I have not received and will not receive a single cent for my participation in that trial. I have nothing to gain from that. So I'm curious to see how he thinks I'm going to make money off of this. And same with the lawsuits. The lawsuits are for defamation against Kelly, that he ruined her name, her career, and she received death threats as a result of being portrayed as a trafficker in the Sound of Freedom movie. This has destroyed her life. And so she is suing him for defamation. This is not motivated by money. None of it is motivated by money. We're trying to take out a guy that is going around ruining people's reputations and ruining their lives. So he can claim that all he wants, but I know I'm not receiving a cent for doing this. This entire podcast is an act of service on my part because I want the truth to get out there. So much fact checking we got to do with this guy. Let's keep going.
They're going after foundations that I have built and raised money for. So we need to make it very clear what they've done. And so why people might say, you're so mean, you're so mean spirited, you're saying such mean things. But like, for example, like, again, I feel bad for these plaintiffs because I think Kelly Swatter's life is way worse off now than it otherwise would have been because of Rasmussen and Mortensen.
Oh my gosh. Because of Rasmussen and Mortensen, that's why it's worse off. Dude, you entrapped her into being part of a conversation to try and trap her in pimping. And when that failed, you went down there and make sure that she was convicted of something to try and save the narrative of your movie and to try and save your credibility. She's not a trafficker. There's no trafficking charges. She's not convicted of trafficking. You're made an entire narrative film based on the storyline that Kelly Suarez is a human trafficker that is taking kids from her modeling agency and selling them and controlling them and turning them into sex slaves. Dude, she's not a trafficker. So stop saying that. Like, if you got a trafficking charge against her that was a convicted trafficking charge, then we'd be talking about Kelly Suarez as a human trafficker, but she's not. And then to say that Alan and Suzette, the lawyers that are trying to help her and myself, we are the ones that ruined her life. Dude, Tim went down, held a conference in 2022 for OUR on OUR's dime where they invited all these prosecutors together. Kelly had not been brought to trial for 8 years. She had already spent a year and a half in prison. She had not been brought to trial. OUR held a conference in 2022 in which they invited the prosecutors in Cartagena to come wine and dine at the Hyatt, the swanky hotel, all expenses paid. The next week, charges were filed or changed from trafficking to pimping. It seems very, very obvious that Tim got a prosecutor, got in his ear, and got a prosecutor to change the charges and get Kelly charged with something that they could probably have a chance of convicting her on something, on pimping, because the human trafficking charges were not holding up. There were not, there's no evidence that that was the case. So the next week, Kelly was charged with pimping. And this trial was her criminal trial that Tim orchestrated. Had he not gotten involved, the statute of limitations would have ran out, I think, in a week from now, sometime in October. After 10 years later, Kelly would have been a free woman. She wouldn't have been convicted of pimping. She was already not convicted of trafficking. She wouldn't have been convicted of pimping. And she'd be a free woman right now. She's in prison because of Tim. And he has the audacity to say that I, along with Alan Mortensen and Suzette Rasmussen, ruined her life. Seriously, dude? Seriously.
But she tried to get a protective order on me, and she knew her kids go to my kids' school. So I literally couldn't go to my kids' school until there was a hearing. I mean, I had tearful moments, many, with my children, dropping them off blocks away from their school and then calling them to make sure they get there on time. We have 9 kids. Catherine needs my help, right? It was horrifying, and she knew what she was doing. And guess what?
Are you seeing the exaggeration from this guy? He's saying that he had to drop his kids off a couple blocks from school, and that's horrifying. And they had tearful parting. They were in tears because they had to walk a couple blocks. This is, I'm sorry, but this is laughable. Like, his kids can ride the bus just like anyone else. Kids can walk a couple of blocks to the school. That's not something that you would have a tearful, horrifying experience with. Like, if that's the case, then do you need to get your kids out and get them a little bit more accustomed to the real world? But you see how he takes these scenarios and spins them into something horrifying, traumatic. I'm the victim. It's all because a woman who he won't identify, Kira, was trying to get a protective order against him because he's out there smearing her publicly in the Eagle Mountain stake fundraiser that he held, and that was streamed online to everybody in the Eagle Mountain stake, where he berated her and called her a liar and all sorts of other horrible names. He's out there smearing her publicly. She doesn't feel safe because she lives in the same stake, the same community as Tim, and she's afraid for her safety, rightfully so. Tim has made threats in the past about shooting people in vital organs that are his enemies. He's made threats in the past, and so I wouldn't put it past him to act out in a violent way. Kira has every right to be scared. I've been scared for my safety and my involvement with this. And to spin that effort to get a protective order against Tim to make sure that law enforcement threatens Tim that if you go anywhere near her or her kids, then you're going to jail. He spins that into he's the victim and it's affecting his family. And he has to drop his kids 2 blocks away from the school. Like, dude, you're not as good of a spin doctor as you claim you are. But some people believe him still. So, all right, let's keep going.
When we finally got to the hearing, the judge just looked at her and said, "You're not credible. Your story has changed 3 or 4 times. You're not credible." And she said, "All I need is preponderance of the evidence. And I can't even get there because you've changed your story so many times." So she lifted the protective order. Well,
this is really sad and disappointing that it went down this way, because when somebody is sexually assaulted by somebody close to them, especially by somebody that they work with, that they are friends with, that they are friends with their family, there are so many different layers of trauma and different layers of gaslighting from the community, from the family, and from the perpetrator that all are an effort to try and keep the victim silent. So when the victim comes forward, quite often they are trying to make sense of what happened to them. Like, it's a very confusing, traumatic experience. And so the fact that she didn't come out immediately and claim rape, that's what I believe the judge was saying. You need to come out immediately and claim rape on what happened. She's processing this. Everybody that goes through sexual assault is trying to process, and they're weighing the pros and the cons. Like, if I come forward, then these people are going to come after me. If I come forward, then my community is going to shun me in this case. If I come forward, how does that affect my kids? It's so complicated, and there are so many bad things that happen from coming forward and outing a perpetrator that has committed sexual assault. That's the reason why 90% of sexual assaults don't ever go reported. It is a traumatic, awful thing. And Kira coming forward in the community that she lives in with Tim in his stake as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with her kids going to his kids' school, knowing the family, being friends with Catherine, all of those things weigh into the decision. Should I say something or should I just cower and hide? Like, the fact that she overcame all these things and spoke out is an act of courage that I have not seen paralleled with anybody that I've been associated with in my life. It's a total act of courage and bravery. And if you understand the different layers of unraveling a sexual assault that's happened to you, then you got to give an allowance for processing this. And the women, I'm sure, are still processing it. They're going to be processing what happened to them and trying to make sense of it for the rest of their lives. That's the sad reality of it. And so it's really unfortunate the judge didn't understand what this is about and didn't grant her the protective order, because it doesn't harm Tim in any way. Yeah, maybe he has to drop his kids off two blocks away from the school, but it does protect her and allow her to have some semblance of a normal life with some protections in place that would hopefully give her a little bit of peace of mind. And she's scared and she's feels threatened. And Tim going out and making a video just like he did right now is a great example. He says, I'm not going to say her name because I've gotten in trouble for doing that. Everybody knows who he's talking about. Everybody that knows Kira and knows the situation, knows him, knows who he's talking about. So he's really not protecting the identity of anybody here.
What I don't understand about these women, I'm not going to say her name, but it's just like, don't you know? She's trying to paint herself as this innocent housewife who went to a strip club to be trained to see if she could handle, and she couldn't handle it. We cut her off because she came on to me. And we got the texts, like literally the day after the alleged abuse, she's texting our team, when's the training, when's the op? But I don't understand that. They don't understand that we have to then disprove, like, well, Tim, why did you cut her? And one of the reasons I'm going to say, I have to. I don't want to. Again, I've given them a year. I'm going to tell her the story that's going to be corroborated by 100 people. She told me that she seduced one of the members of her bishopric and had sex with him. And for those who aren't watching, this is like the local leadership. There's the bishop and two counselors. That's all coming out. I've waited a year, and because she tried to seduce me, which is why I blocked her and cut her, and she never made it on and off. She literally asked me to take her clothes off, or to take my clothes off, and then she twists the whole story. But I have text to prove her character. I have 100 witnesses of a congregation who will say, yes, she'd seduced a member of the bishopric. Like, I don't know why they think that they're going to get away with this. They keep getting trapped. And in the end, I feel like they're going to see it, look at their attorney and say, why didn't you warn me about this? Why didn't you warn me about that? How come Tim's winning all the cases? Because you're lying.
He says that he doesn't want to do this because he's trying to love his enemies, but he has to do it. I guess there was some sort of contingency or contingency clause in that scripture that says, love your enemies unless they say something bad about you, which is obviously what makes them an enemy. Look at what just happened. Monday, the New York Times article came out and it gave Kira credibility. Kara and I went on Tuesday, I think, and I praised Kira's integrity and bravery for coming forward. And so then the day after, Tim comes up here and feels like he needs to personally smear her and do a character assassination. I don't know anything about those accusations that he hurled at her, but I do know that I've seen Tim go through character assassinations with my friends in very similar ways, accusing them of all sorts of wrongdoing. I'm going to talk about one of them is when Celeste Boris, his executive assistant, came out and accused him of sexual assault. Tim not only went after her, but he went after her husband. Mike Boris was contacted by people and threatened. He also works with different clients in his profession who were contacted by people that said that Mike was involved in an assassination plot in Ecuador or somewhere, and also that he had his wife tied up in their basement and was abusing her. This is psychotic accusations that Tim and his minions are hurling at people to try and character assassinate them and get in their head and play these psychological war games. I know several other friends of mine that worked for OUR that were threatened by him and that were character assassinated by him. In fact, there's one man that worked for OUR early on when I was there, and his father was on the board. And when he started, the son started questioning Tim and his motives and his tactics, Tim went into full-on character assassination mode with him and even got his dad to believe the charges that he was hurling against his son. And he divided that father and son. I hope that they have reconciled and that the dad sees that, you know, who Tim really is and believes his son with these accusations. But that's what Tim does. He goes into full-on character assassination mode, and he's hurling at Kira accusations that she's a seducer, and this is crazy because all of the documentation out there paints Tim as the one that is trying to seduce, groom, and sexually assault women when they don't submit to his advances. Like, he's accusing them of the very thing that he's been accused of by multiple women. And so take that for what it's worth. I really have a hard time believing that anything coming out of Tim's mouth is credible, especially under these circumstances. And I definitely don't believe that he's a good Christian man wanting to love his enemies, but is forced to hate them and forced to character assassinate them and forced to go on these personal smear attacks. But you tell me how you view it.
And you're painting yourself as someone you're not. And I don't want to do these things. I could have done that 10 months ago, but I have to start telling the truth because it's hurting our fight against child trafficking. And I'm going to start telling the truth, and it's going to come out. I have my First Amendment rights. They put out their vomitous mass of lies and misconstrue things, and I can go through each and every one. And now I'm going to start doing it because I've given them about a year to do the right thing. I've suffered immensely for it. I'm millions of dollars in debt for it. But I've come to the point where it's time to start revealing the truth, and it's going to start coming out. And it is coming out because the...
I just want to point out, he just identified that he suffered immensely for it, and then identifies how he suffered. He's millions of dollars in debt. To him, that's what suffering is losing his war chest. So just make a note of that.
The court forces it out, and that's the only time I've been vocal about it, and we've won every claim. Because the judges sit back and say, wow, well, you certainly didn't tell this part of the story when you put in your filing. And that's just going to continue. And I'm sorry, because it's going to hurt people. But children and the mission that we have to rescue them is more important than that. And they've had enough time. They've had enough time to try to make a decision, and they've chosen very poorly. And I feel bad for them.
Yeah, of course, goes back to his standard deny and deflect arguments, that this is hurting children. By attacking me, you're hurting children. by taking away my millions of dollars, you're preventing me from saving more children. And that's why I, along with everybody else that's attacking him, the dozens of people that have opposed him, we're working for the pedophiles somehow. We want kids to be exploited. If we just keep our focus on that, then we should ignore all of Tim's personal crimes, misdeeds, sexual assaults, fraud, all of that stuff. That should be all allowed as long as he gets the chance to save kids.
Here's where Rasmussen and Mortensen and Ryan Fisher messed up in this little game they're playing to try to get money. Okay. It's very clear to me. They don't understand how human trafficking operations work. If they could take me down, they thought that's all they had to do and everybody would cave. I think they promised these women, hey, this will be short, couple months. He's going to have to plead out because we're going to hit him so hard that he's just going to not plead out, but just crumble and just pay. And OUR is going to pay. It's not happening because we have the truth. We have the text messages. And here's the problem. And this is the truth. Tim Ballard was not the hero of Sound of Freedom. I was not the hero. I was not the leader of that operation. And that's where they're falling apart. Like in the hierarchy of things, me and my team were somewhere down here. Now, the filmmakers could have chosen anyone to be the protagonist, but the protagonist of the story is not necessarily the hero of the story. The hero of the story could have been the CTI unit. It could have been the Homeland Security agents who were on the island. It could have been falling just one of the children who was the real hero. It could have been a story about this aftercare center. So here's the problem is they take on me and then they get into it and they get stuck in it. And then they think, oh my goodness, now what do I do? It's not just Tim I got to take down, because they're trying to say that I paid these kids to be paid actors to come on this island.
Has anybody seen anything that OUR Tim has put out? The Abolitionists, Opera Saint Toussaint, all of the videos, the sizzle reel, and the Sound of Freedom. Who is the hero in that? Like, he's trying to gaslight everybody. That's like, it wasn't me. I was just there, you know, participating, but I wasn't in charge. I wasn't the hero. Are you kidding me? Do you think we're stupid? Like, anybody can see that for themselves, that the whole operation of OUR was to build up Tim Ballard. The fundraisers, he was the hero. The movies, he's the hero. He's like, well, I was the protagonist, but I wasn't the hero. The hero could have been the aftercare facility. The hero could have been the CTI agents. Are there any names of CTI agents that are out there that anybody knows? No. Tim took all the credit. His name takes all the credit. Does anybody know the aftercare facility and the people that ran that stuff? No, nobody knows their names. They weren't even discussed. So gaslight all you want. Like, you're the hero. You made that movie to advance your own hero status in the United States. And it's pretty laughable that you'd claim otherwise. He's also making a claim that I said in my testimony that the children were paid. That's not true. I said that in my testimony in the Kelly Suarez case, that the operators, everybody that OUR brought there as part of OUR, were paid actors, which is the truth. They were doing a cosplay, pretending to be undercover agents. They're not, because they're not part of law enforcement, that are performing the sting operation. They are all actors. They are all playing the role of creepy sex tourists. And they're inviting innocent people to be a part of that don't know it's a setup. Okay, so I never said that the kids were paid actors. Like, I got the transcripts. I don't know why he's just grasping at straws there, trying to claim that I said something that I didn't in my testimony. The kids that were invited there through Facebook messages didn't know they were walking into a film shoot, unfortunately.
But you got to get on the U.S. Embassy. You got to get around the entire government of Colombia. And most importantly and sensitively, you have to get around the aftercare center, who they're enraged. I'm not going to name their names because they are fearful. They're taking care of kids right now, and they're scared to death of the likes of Mortensen and Rasmussen because they see them as cozying up to the cartels, because they are still representing someone who was selling kids for sex. And so, yeah, an attack. If you're going to say these kids were paid actors, and you want to continue that lie, then that lie has to continue, and you have to say that they went to aftercare for years as actors. Okay, how would you feel if your kid was being sexually abused and sold for sex and went to aftercare, and you're in Colombia living there and struggling, and you're dealing with the most dramatic, traumatic thing that's ever happened to your family, and some gringos from America come down and say it never happened?
What he's trying to play at is he's trying to take the same defense that Alex Jones got embroiled in when Alex Jones went publicly on his show and claimed that the Sandy Hook massacre was completely staged. And it wasn't. Those were real victims. Kids were real victims that died in that tragic event. But because he said, he proposed that it was all staged and that kids were actors, he got destroyed in court. Okay. He's hoping that he could take the same attack angle on us, even though I never said, and I don't believe that any of the kids, actually most of the individuals involved in the Cartagena raid, the vast majority were over 18. We have a list that we'll share it with you. We're trying to get the complete list of the victims or the kids involved in the Cartagena raid. The majority of them were over 18. All of them were over the age of consent, which is 14 and above, consent to have sex. And so nobody was trafficked in that raid. Again, he's going back to the aftercare facility is scared because we're cozying up with the cartels. I have no contact with the cartels. I don't want to have any contact with the cartels. I'm not receiving any money from the cartels. He's making absolutely wild, wild claims that the lawyers that were helping Kelly's defense team are part of the cartels. Wow. I mean, show us. Why do you think that? Come on, provide some evidence and some proof of that. I'd really like to see it. I'd really like to see what you're basing that on, because it's not true and he doesn't have any way to prove that, or he's just coming up with absolutely baseless claims.
How would you feel as a parent?
How would that child feel?
I need to also address his claim that the aftercare facility is scared. From my understanding, and I need to double check this, but from my understanding, what I've been told by lawyers involved in this is that there were no victims, nobody was trafficked, and everybody there was not part of the sex exploitation industry prior to coming to the island or during that island. They were not sexually assaulted. And so there were no victims, and because there's no victims, everybody was above the age of consent, and there was no trafficking going on. There was no need for aftercare for somebody who wasn't sexually exploited. Does that make sense? So that's what I've been told. It's pending verification, but if that's true, then this entire aftercare story that there's an aftercare facility that took in all these kids is totally bogus. Now I need to verify that. That's what I've been told by my sources, that that's what happened at the Cartagena raid. And I'm talking with people and we're trying to verify that, but it's difficult because of the language barrier and it's all the way down in Colombia. But I'm going to put that out there as a point of contention that I'm not buying that story. If I'm wrong, I'll let you know. But so far, I'm not buying the story. I would like to see the evidence of the aftercare facility and all the people, all the kids that were saved and had to go to the aftercare facility for years. Like, let's see that documentation.
Yeah, feeling like it's like, we finally get out of danger. My child is being rehabilitated, getting help, and then the hero that helped the same country that he's from is coming down here. I mean, it's obvious. And I wanted to mention something too, that the devil's in the details. Look, this is messy. People don't want to hear messy things, but this is the truth. And this is what has to be said. Bottom line. And I'm glad that you mentioned that they were not, sorry, but they were not the defense attorneys, folks. That's where the media like
is trying to make money from. They're likely working on a contingency, which means they're going to get 30-40% of whatever they can take, in my opinion, steal from Sound of Freedom that grossed $250 million. The foundation that I started, OUR, which has, you know, tens of millions of dollars in it. And that's what this is about. But they're stuck, Troy, because they thought that if they could just take down me, they're home free. But they can't. They can't. They can't do it without taking down all these others. And now they're going to have to pretend that this aftercare center, I've met these people. They've given their lives. These children have been separated from their families to get healed in this facility. And you have to now say that this cosplay, as Alan Mortensen and Ryan Fisher have called it, it was all fake. So was the 3 to 4 to 5 years of aftercare fake too? These paid actors just stayed in there? They don't know what to say. And let me ask you something. When you don't know what to say and you're losing an argument, there's a telltale sign. When you're losing an argument that bad, you start saying things that are unhinged.
You resort to ad hominem attacks.
Yeah, so if there's 3, 4, 5 years of aftercare for the people that were saved, supposedly saved from the Cartagena raid, provide the documentation. You got to provide documentation. Otherwise, it's baseless accusations. Like, seriously, I'll totally give you credit. If there was victims from the Cartagena raid that went into aftercare, provide that documentation. Let's see it. I'd really like to see it.
And it's people see through it. He's called me the closest thing that Utah's ever seen to a mafia boss. Okay, that's like when you get into an argument with someone and you know you're losing so bad that you're like, oh yeah, well, you're a Nazi. Okay, argument over. So he's calling me that I'm a mafia boss, you know, saying that I took advantage of married women or moms. Yes, there were moms that came on, the likes of which I just described, who tried to get naked with me. And I walked away and blocked her, friends that we can show. She continues texting me, trying to get in on the trainings. The other girl who got kicked out of a training because she asked me to come to her hotel room. I have mountains of texts of her saying that she was hypnotized by my baby blue eyes. And we had such a great connection. And why are you doing? Why can I see you? Can I see you? Does she think these things aren't going to come out? It's bizarre to me. It's bizarre to me. And they're being discredited left and right. But I've been patient, Troy. I've been patient. I've waited a whole year. I had this information a year ago, and I pray for my enemies. I hope they see clearly. I think they've been allured. I think that Rasmussen and Mortensen have run over Kelly Suarez. Like I've said, I think she could have just done her time and been quiet, but because Rasmussen and Mortensen went down to Columbia and put her on the news, she's a bigger villain than she could have ever made herself, or that Sound of Freedom could have made her. And the same thing's going to happen to these women. I've been patient. They think I don't have information. That's why I'm quiet. No, I'm trying to be Christ-like. I'm trying to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me. But I've hit a point where we're done. And we're going to start revealing the truth to the public. Every time they go to the court, like I said, the judge looked at this woman who wanted to see me naked.
Okay, he's going to start revealing the truth. Please, provide the documentation. Provide the truth. I want to see it. I find it absolutely appalling that he's claiming that the lawyers and myself are ruining Kelly's life, that if she would have just remained quiet, not sued him for defamation, he wouldn't have had to go down there and wrecked her life and put her in prison for 20 years. Like, we're the ones that are ruining Kelly's life. Like, wow. Like, that's the ultimate opposite town, gaslighting, flip of the facts that I've ever heard. We're going to leave it there for now, because there's a lot more in this that we need to talk about. And I'm going to put that into part 2 of this video. Please subscribe, comment, like this video. That stuff goes a long way to help our voice and the voice of the women get out there. Also, we really need some help with financial backers for this project and to help us keep this podcast alive. It really needs to be more than a week. Kara and I are both have families and kids, and we're doing this on our free time with borrowed podcast studio space. So if you want to help us tell this story and get the truth out there, then we'd really appreciate the support and help. There's links in the description on how you can support and help that out, because the sad reality is we're not getting paid by the cartels. We're not. I mean, I've reached out to them and the pedophile networks and they haven't responded. So we need your help to tell this story. And that would be wonderful if you'd partner with us in supporting this podcast. Part two coming after this. And we're also going to get into some more aspects of the Kelly Suarez case, including a very special recording that was just obtained by myself that reveals a lot about the inner workings between Tim and who founded him and his organization and what agenda they had in the beginning. So we'll get into that as soon as we can. Stay tuned. There's a lot more coming down in the Timmy Did What podcast. Thanks for joining us.